Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Found Heart Living. This morning, I'm going to be speaking very pointedly about a particular aspect of the subject of marriage, and that is temptation. And I'm going to be talking about the temptation or desire to leave or to walk out of a marriage that one believes is not working out. And so let me say at the top of the show this morning that if you are thinking about walking away from your marriage, don't. I'm speaking particularly to believing ones who believe that a divorce will solve one's problems. And let me say that divorce rarely solves anyone's problems. Now, divorce may be an answer, and it is an answer, but divorce is highly destructive. And in the biblical documents, we learn why marriage is highly destructive. Because God is the creator of marriage. It is God who said that the two shall become God, one flesh. That is a compound unity. It's the same word for one that is used in Deuteronomy 6:4 in the Shema. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Compound unity. When Jesus said in the Gospel of John that I and my Father are one, he too used a Greek word that meant a compound unity. And so I want us to really understand the cosmic significance, the ontological significance of the marriage relationship. Marriage originated from the plan of God, God's archetypal plan for mankind, for humankind. And so, therefore, marriage is not to be entered into lightly, and nor is it to be exited without due consideration of what the two will become one flesh. Now, basar is the Hebrew word for flesh, but please understand that when one speaks of compound unity and one uses the term basar, that unity that God speaks of in the book of Genesis means oneness of mind, oneness of heart, and oneness of body. So the language of marriage that is embedded in Genesis 2 is very pictorial and highly instructive for us. But alas, once again, our education, both religious and otherwise, has fallen short of really explaining to people what a vital relationship marriage is. Now, when I speak about marriage, I'm never going to deal with legal aspects of what marriage has become in the West and the redefinition and what have you. I'm not going to deal with that. I am dealing exclusively with the topic of marriage. And I'm not going to be reading much material from marriage journals or the findings of the research thereof, because I want to focus on who God is in marriage. And yes, we often say that a threefold cord is not soon broken. And I want us to really focus on that reality. We need to have landmarks in marriage. We need to have an understanding of marriage that builds us up, not tears us down. Now, if you are having a particularly difficult time with your partner and your emotions are high, remember, the two shall become one flesh. And it is difficult to communicate on certain topics. If you can communicate at all without becoming flustered or angry, then one needs to stand back and get calm. And if you need to, you need to seek appropriate counsel from godly couples who have been married over a period of time. And the Word of God says that women are to go to more godly women or older women who are to help the young women, who are to teach them. And the men should go to godly men who will be able to teach them. I'm just talking about the biblical materials and what is taught in the Word of God. For godly direction, not for advice, not for marital advice, but for godly direction from the Word of God. Marriage, for men, that is, God says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. And, of course, the term there is agape. It is used in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world. And the word agape has nothing to do with emotion. And husbands are enjoined by God to love their wives in a self-sacrificial manner. And that requires, which Peter writes, that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So therefore, the Bible is our compendium, our inexhaustible resource book, so that we can grow up in Him. Now, I cannot wait for my spouse to change, and I cannot say to my spouse, well, if you would change, then this marriage would be better. I have to remember what is taught in the book of Proverbs, that is, I have to be aware of pride, saying things in a prideful manner, speaking in a haughty and prideful manner, attacking the character of my marriage partner. Never attack the character of an individual. Never. One can address a problem without seeking to undermine the character of another, because to attack the character of an individual to demean and to otherwise attack the identity of a person with shame is not wise. And so pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is your marital partner. Now, the book of Hosea is considered one of the to be one of the minor prophets. However, his message is not minor. I think you should get rid of that designation, minor prophet or minor prophets. Hosea was an 8th century prophet, and his prophecy occurred around between 760 and 740 BC. And this was 250 years after the reign of David, who ruled over the golden age of Israel. And this was about 650 years after God's people had entered into the promised land. The name Hosea means salvation. And his name is another form of Joshua. And please understand that in the Hebrew alphabet, there's no J, there's a Y. So the name Joshua, as we say, Joshua, should be Yeshua. And so Hosea prophesied at the time that Rome and Carthage were founded, and Phoenician westbound ships had made their way to Tarshish, which was a colony in southern Spain. You find that in Micah 1:8. Gautama introduced Buddhism in India at this time. And so much was going on in the ancient Near East, Western Asia, and in the ancient Far East. So Hosea is the prophet of a broken home. He had a wife that was unfaithful to him. And so God chose this brokenhearted prophet to speak appropriately to the nation because his experience, own heart to life. And so this is a very powerful book. And the focus is a marriage in which there has been infidelity. The old word is harlotry. And I want you to understand the interrelationship between what Hosea faced and what God faced, because his people were unfaithful to him. Hosea's wife was unfaithful to him. Hosea will do what we call an active prophecy. And so the first word from God, prophet himself. We read in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to, or Haya, happened to Hosea, the son of Beeri, during the reign of Ahaz and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, the son of Jehoash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the violent adultery. Notice the language. And you see the interplay of God's experience with his people and Hosea's experience in his marriage. This is a very powerful picture. And I want you to see, as I go to Hosea, what Hosea's experience means for us. And so in my next show, we're going to continue in Hosea chapter 1 and look at why God says we're not to walk away from our marriage. Dr. Josiah Rich, have a blessed day.